Well, God's grace and mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of all of our sins. Growing up, my mom would always say to, not always, but on occasion would say to us in German, and I say this absolutely wrong because I shared it with one of our German-speaking friends at the first service and she corrected me ever so lovingly. I say it as Fröhliche Pfingstra, which means, in some language, I said it wrong, but it means happy Pentecost. And one of the reasons why I think of Pentecost is because my mom would share a story about Pentecost as she had grown up, and she always loved it for this reason. It's when she got a new dress. She didn't get a new dress for Easter because, for whatever reasons, but on Pentecost, that's when she'd get a new dress as a little girl to wear to church. And that would be her dress for that year or however that all worked out. So that's kind of those childhood memories that we have and we can put together for lots of different times and places in the church. But when God looks at Pentecost, he sees this is when he takes the great diversity, such as we have the candles all up here representing all the different languages and tongues of the world brought together by one Holy Spirit to create one church. As we see at the end of our Acts reading here, is that whoever calls upon the name of Christ, that person is saved because they're responding in faith. There's no other avenue to salvation. So as we can ask that question, really, who is this Holy Spirit? And we have all these beautiful Holy Spirit hymns. Just as last week with Ascension. What is Ascension all about? We go to our hymnal and we can discover all what the Holy Spirit does and is involved with by the very hymns we sing as prayers go up to God. We can discover so many different ways of saying it. But our text today shares it in a way that is very unique and I think memorable for us too, especially for those who lived in Florida for any amount of time. The Holy Spirit is a mighty rushing wind. And we don't often talk about it, but that's what the sound was like when the Holy Spirit was coming upon that early church, those early disciples, those early people gathering together, figuring this all out because they had to wait 10 days before this was going to happen. Jesus ascends into heaven, and now he says, hang on in spirit and truth and worship all these things, and then this Holy Spirit, like a rushing wind, is going to come into your life, and you're going to be enlivened to live in God's precious and almighty name, because God is with you, and he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, he will never walk out on you, he will never turn his back on you. This is truth. The power of the Holy Spirit upon us. And so we ask that question, what does he do for us? What is he accomplishing? What does he do? Let's get this all figured out. And we can spend tons of time on this, looking at all kinds of Bible verses, working way back in the New and the Old Testament, working through. In one of my former congregations, I had an Old Testament professor that knew his Hebrew forwards and backwards, and he had a special, his name was Harold, he had a special way of talking about the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament, like I've never come across before. And he would gather all of us pastors in the congregation, and he would go into the church library, and he would teach the pastors of the congregation about the power of the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament. And then when he would get into the New Testament, he would get this gentle smile and he'd remind us of the rushing winds, a whole different ball game. Because now we really are involved with that church of the Holy Spirit that works through his word, works through his church, works through his people. And he does the work of converting. We see this in our text in the book of Acts, that work of the Holy Spirit converting. Wherever the word of God is planted and spoken, shared, there that Holy Spirit is laying himself out on the hearts, him doing the work that we all know so well and remind each other so often. It's not us who do the converting, but it is the Holy Spirit. It is the battle cry of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit does this. And we know this from the Word of God as we get in our text here. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus says it in our gospel reading, what I have, I declare unto you. Well, what does Jesus have? He has the forgiveness of sins. He's got eternal life. He's got all that we need to live eternally given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he moves us from death to life. He moves us from always being in the coffin for an eternity to raising us up, not unlike Lazarus, not unlike himself, not unlike Jairus' daughter. What is dead? He is raised to life. And we are moved in this. We who were once dead are now alive. He can take what is dead and, like the rushing winds coming upon us, raises us up into a beautiful, wonderful spot. He takes what cannot see and opens the eyes. He takes what is lost and running into walls, running into frustration, running into all the wrong places, and he finds us unto himself. He takes what is spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy of God. Remember, there's no sitting on the fence. There's no take it or leave it. Blind, dead, an enemy of God. And moves us in to the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, as we sang this past Friday for the funeral of our brother Neil. What a friend we now have. We once could not see him. We once could not believe in him. We could never be able to find him on our own. But now we are friends in Christ Jesus. And that Holy Spirit brings us and keeps us in that one true steadfast faith. And then that Holy Spirit says, I'm not done with you yet. I've got some gifts to plant on you. I am now going to go into your life like these rushing, windy waves of him rushing upon us. And he says, I'm going to give you some love. I've got some joy for you. We talk a lot about joy here. I've got some peace. Some patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. I got all these things for you. You who were once selfish is now a person of love. You who were once a person of no joy, of a heart that is hardened, to a joyful person no matter life circumstances. One, a person of anxiety is now turned to a person of peace. A patience of I need it now, immediate gratification, now is long-suffering and patient. A person of kindness and goodness is moved and changed into a gentle, self-controlled person that is exhibiting all these fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Moving us from the way of the world that is filled with anger and fear and shouting into the gentle person of the Holy Spirit filled with the rushing waters of heaven in baptism, filled with the rushing winds of the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God in his very body and blood. And then the Holy Spirit says, I've got more gifting to do. Just don't open up those fruits of the spirits. I have these spiritual gifts that are connected in you with these rushing winds. They're not idle. They're not little. They're not weak. They're not puny. They're not outdated. They don't become smaller as our body becomes aged. These are spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit working in you to touch the lives of other people in amazing ways. I know we have all the ways of excuses and want to stop that. We can see that throughout the Bible. Oh, Sarah and I know we're way too old. Are you kidding? I'm Moses. I can't even speak right. You know, we can get all the excuses through all the time. You know, I'm too young, Jeremiah. I'm way too young to do any of this stuff. And then, of course, Jonah. And that's just a big mess until he really gets figured out. And then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we figure this out. We each have a calling. God calls us through these gifts. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be this love, this joy, this peace, this kindness, this gentleness, this self-controlled, patient, and enduring person in a world that is not. And I love this verse from Ephesians. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Into Christ Jesus. You've been called with these gifts, with the rushing winds upon you. And St. Paul is looking at that early church and saying, I urge you so strongly. The Holy Spirit has come upon this young church, and it is going to do amazing things as we share this love of Christ. And so we see this calling that God has upon us as He empowers the church. It's what He does. We can go way back into Ezekiel, as you've read the dry bones chapter today, but also He says, I will put my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. In the midst of death, we are raised up. You know, that Ezekiel dry bones Old Testament reading, it takes it because those who are put into the ground, I will reform you into a new creation, into a new heaven, and into a new Jerusalem. It's going to be beautiful. Today we see everything decked out in red. We got our candles going, and I was hoping they'd make it through both services. They're doing a little bit better now, but everything is in red. Next week, we're going to transition into green. And we have read for this grand celebration of Pentecost. And we walked, started with the color blue in Advent and went through all the colors, including purple, that royal color of the robe of Jesus. And then finally the resurrection of Jesus after Good Friday's death. And we've just been walking through the book of Acts throughout the Easter season. What do we do with this gospel of the resurrection? And now next week, if you're blessed to be here, you're going to see green everywhere. What does the color green teach the church? Because remember, the pyramids are teaching things that have been given to the church for hundreds of years. It's just not a beautiful thing that you may or may not like. They're colors that tell the congregation. What is green telling the church? Now's the time where we have interaction. You get to raise your hand. You will not be on camera. Okay. What does green teach? Life and growth. We know this, right? The leaves are coming back. There's growth and life and multiplication, and it's all there. Green is going to be on there for week after week after week, because now we get into that time of the church year where we're past that walking through the life of Christ, and then He says, now go. He told it to the animals in the garden. He told it to Adam and Eve. You're going to have to fulfill and multiply. It's what you do. And then, of course, Jesus, now I will make you fishers of men. We move that growth now into people through the power of the Holy Spirit from life to death. That's what He does through the ministry of the church, through the plan A, God working through His Word in us, planting the gospel. The Holy Spirit does His thing along the way. So I was talking to a friend of mine about, you know, the feel-good church or a church that bears fruit. Now, you know, we got to be careful here, because God wants us to feel good. He's given us the gospel of comfort and joy and peace and everlasting life. He sends us into the world that does not know comfort, and we're the only ones that can bring comfort to it. And so if we do not have the joy of thy salvation, how can we plant it into someone else? But when all we talk about is taking care of ourselves and being happy and content and comfortable, we never get to the spot to bear fruit. And the church for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years would say, okay, now we move to green. We've talked about moving us from death to life through Jesus and now the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we bear the fruit. We've got the message. We've got the salvation. We have the understanding. And now we bear fruit in keeping with the Word of God. Bearing fruit that raises people up in Jesus. So they too, at one point of their higher life, will cry out, Lord, and they too shall be saved. Christ Jesus, and their faith seen by God, planted by the Word, enlivened by the Holy Spirit, is the joy of their salvation. Because we have this one holy church, this one church that is given to us, and that Holy Spirit has moved us from death to life, empowered us with His gifts at multiple levels, with the fruits of the Spirit, with our spiritual gifts, and with our own special and unique, wonderful calling. One Spirit, one church, for the sake of the lost. For Jesus, who has saved His church, now sends His church. Exactly what He is doing with them when they all lined up and received that Holy Spirit. Not to huddle in one place and stay comfortable with your favorite things, but now with the Holy Spirit upon you, touch the lives of other people. That is when the church is at its best. Lord, send me to the people in my home. Send me to the people I drive with. Send me to the people I walk with. Send me to the people that I hang around with. Or the old saying, the people that you work with, go to school with, or play with, or do things with. Let me be Jesus to them. Because there's countless gifts that God gives upon us. Do we ask that church, do we feel like we're kind of burned out? Do we feel like we're kind of spent? Do we feel like our wick is getting smaller and smaller and has less to give? The Holy Spirit reminds us, we're a mighty rushing wind. We are not here just with sinews and bones and good intentions. We have the mighty rushing wind upon us, the Holy Spirit working through us to show love in amazing and wonderful ways. The power of the Holy Spirit upon the church will lead us to be fruitful and multiply as we go into the season of green. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way here. I think that's it. So as we gather together in God's holy name, we gather together to testify of His great love. Think of the person who has gone into heaven before you. And when they look down upon you and they're able to see the Holy Spirit upon you. I may not be able to, someone else may not be able to, but they can. They know and see and can testify of your faith, of your strength, of your love, because Jesus has come unto you and He merited all of His salvation to you. And He's brought you unto Himself. And when Jesus looks at you, He, of course, sees someone who will be with Him forever because of the resurrection of Jesus cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And the only judgment that is placed upon us is forgiven and saved. It is a fantastic time to be in the church and think green in a whole new way than what the world says to think green. We are in Jesus. Amen.